turn in your Bibles to Revelation. That book at the very, very back of your Bible, Revelation. Tonight we want to talk about the Bermuda Triangle and what the Bible says, if anything, about it. And first of all, I stand before you. I'm not an authority at all on anything in this world, much less our subject tonight, the Bermuda Triangle and what the Bible says about it. But what I want to present to you is some information that has been revealed to me through a book, and the name of the book is The Bible and the Bermuda Triangle. This book was in our Christian Center, and in the back it had a place for the checkout jackets, you know, you put in your little card. And Toni Griffith took it out of the Christian Center because she wanted to make sure it was the kind of a book that should be in the Christian Center. She has spent untold hours going through all the books that have been given to the center, and she threw away just a gob, and that's a lot of books, a whole gob, because they just weren't the kind of books that should be in a Christian bookstore. And then there were some so-called Christian books from other brand names that shouldn't be there either, so they've been disposed of. This one caused her at least the raising of an eyebrow, so she asked me to look through it. So I sped through it, reading it. And, you know, it has some things in it that I can't deny, and I want to present it to you just for one reason, to get you thinking, you know, and get some cobwebs out of our mind about some scriptures in the Bible that has to do with hell and the Bermuda Triangle. And then just to suggest to you what these two people believe. And I'm not saying it's right, nor am I saying it's wrong. But what I'm saying is, after reading it, I really tend to believe what I have read. And I'm not trying to push it on you tonight, but I want you to listen and ask questions, and I'm sure between us all we can come up with some kind of an answer tonight. First of all, in Revelation 9, 1 through 11, this is where the fifth trumpet of God looses demons that are scorpion horses. They will sting men for 6 months, the Bible says. And the thing of interest is that these horses come up out of the bottomless pit, which is, and see if anybody can find out where it is, first 11 verses, chapter 9. The horses come out of the bottomless pit, which is keep on reading. No, just check it through. Mm-hmm. The bottomless pit, which is where? Okay, let me check. I will turn here to this good book, and that is the Bible, and give you the verse. Okay, the locust came upon the earth. It was given unto them. Between all the translations we have, we got to find the word sea in here. Okay, I don't see it in King James. Does anybody have a translation that says that the horses came up out of the bottomless pit, which was under the sea? Okay, well. We're off to a good start then right there. The bottomless pit under the sea. Well, it's not there. It's just that I never checked the scripture out.
Well, did they say what translation they
have? No, it just says that it happened there, that they came out from under the sea. That's not a very important verse, but the only reason I wanted to bring that was to get us to talking about that place, that lost continent called what?
Atlantis.
Have you ever given any thought to that? What do you believe about Atlantis? Just take a straw vote. How many people really believe there was such a thing as the lost continent of Atlantis?
Well,
Lift your hand. It makes no difference whether you believe it or not. Just lift your hand. Got a couple, three, maybe? How many don't believe that there was Atlantis? Okay.
How many don't care?
All right. I've never given it much thought. I've heard about it. I know Homer was the one who wrote about it.
Right.
And the Bible says nothing about Atlantis, the lost continent, so I've never given too much thought to it because it was not that important. But then, earlier this year, when I suggested to you people that there may have been two floods, where the first flood got rid of Lucifer and the pre-Adamic group of people, and then God recreated the earth, and then there was the flood of Noah, listed in Genesis chapter 1, 2 following, then I got to thinking maybe there was a civilization that was destroyed by the flood. And so it's not that important, but I really intend to believe that there was a city, there was a lost continent called Atlantis. As I read this book, several things were brought out, and one thing was very close to what we talked about three Sunday nights ago. Remember when we had a couple of guys go up on the platform, we talked about the division in the earth. I mean, we talked about the division. People go to hell. They go to Sheol. They go to the land of the dead. And then that place was divided into two compartments, one being paradise and one being Gehenna. Gehenna being that word that was used for the garbage dump at Metropolitan Jerusalem, where the fires burn continuously. Well, when Jesus died, and I guess I could find the scripture if I looked real hard for it, but remember he went down into, let me try to find that. He went down into hell, the scripture says, you know that, and he did what while he was there? He preached to the spirits in prison. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 19. Jesus went and preached to the spirits in prison. Now, the abode of the spirits, we talked about that night. And then from that, this book has led me to believe that there's a great possibility that this place called hell is under or in the earth. It's in the earth. And there are a lot of scriptures that we're going to look at tonight, some we probably will. But remember, in Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, the wicked person went to hell, and the good guy went to Abraham's bosom, which was called paradise. There was a great gulf separating the two compartments, and no people could pass from one compartment to the other compartment. Well, it wasn't possible for the righteous people to go directly to heaven before Jesus came, because it was at his death that he made the transaction. So now when a person dies, they go to paradise, or they go to heaven, whatever you want to call it. But before then, they went to this compartment, and it was there that Jesus went and preached, and then he took all the spirits out, according to 1 Peter chapter 2. Well, this author brings out a lot of scriptures that talk about, and I never thought about this until I read it here, Matthew 12:40. At his death, Christ went into the heart of the earth, which means down, hell. He went into the heart of the earth, where he preached the spirits, 1 Peter 3:18 through 20, and chapter 4, verse 6. And so this is just another scripture that lets us know that when he went to hell, he went to the heart of the earth. So that gives us an idea that maybe this hell is there. Now, I don't think we have time, but I have three pages of notes about the two floods, which I think we'll just skip completely. But let's do read just two scriptures. One is Psalm 104, verse 6. And maybe we can come back and talk about them, but just read them. It's really the whole psalm, verse 1 through verse 23. But Psalm 6, thou coverest it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. In verse 2 through 5, I believe that this has to do with the original creation. There are eight acts of God in here. And then verse 6, that's sort of a chaotic earth, and in one act of God, And then verse 7, at thy rebuke they fled. Now he's talking about the waters. At the voice of thy thunder they hastened away. And then verse 7 all the way through 23 is the recreation of the 6 days. Psalm 104:6 and 2 Peter 3:5-8 are the two scriptures that I think are the most pertinent regarding the two floods. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5, 6, 7, and 8. 2 Peter 3, 5, 6, 7, and 8. And there's a contrast here between the two kind of waters. For this, they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and prediction of ungodly men. There's a contrast here between the two kind of existence of our earth. Psalm 136:6 shows that the earth created was above the water. We turn to Genesis 1:2, we find the earth was below the water. So just in passing, two verses that have to do with the two different kind of floods. Okay, if there we have the two floods, then that would certainly make it open for a good debate that the first flood destroyed the first civilization, which could well be Atlantis. Okay, now the Bermuda Triangle. Does everybody know where the Bermuda Triangle is? Bermuda. Right? It's the second deepest part of the water on the earth. It's the deepest part of the Atlantic Ocean. And it is called the Puerto Rico Trench. And without looking it up, it's about 27 to 28,000 feet deep, which is pretty deep. Now on the opposite side of the earth, we have what we call the Philippine Ocean, we have
Mariana Trench,
and it is like 36,000 feet deep, give or take a little bit, which is the very deepest part of the oceans of the world. Now, if you draw a line, a straight line going through the equator, through the earth, and you start at the Bermuda Triangle, it will come out at this trench on the other side of the earth. They are directly across from one another. Now, do you recall the scripture that talks about the gates of hell? Never is it listed in the singular, it's always plural. And there are a lot of people that believe that these two places are the gates, this place sounds good, are the gates of hell. Except there's just a whole lot of scripture, which, well, some we can turn to.
It's in chapter 13, what you were looking for, beginning there. It says,
in Revelation?
It says, I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw the beast rise up out of the sea.
Okay, thank you. I've been saved. Chapter 13. The beast came out of the sea. Okay. Now, let's see, I don't know where to go back to. Psalm 86:13 talks about the lower, don't have to turn to it, the lowermost part. We're talking about hell now. And it speaks about hell being at the lowermost part. And in Ephesians 4, 8, 9, and 10, it talks about the lower parts of the earth. So it could well be that hell is located in the lower parts of the earth. Now, Darren and Brian and I were talking about this earlier this afternoon, and they made a very good statement that goes like this, that the body's left on earth, but the soul continues its existence. And the soul is going to continue its existence in hell or in heaven. Now, we talk about people going down to hell. We've always said that, you know, they're down in hell. Well, the scripture talks about this. The lowermost parts of the earth is where hell is. So, let me just pull out a few things here from chapter 4. To get you thinking, and we'll look at some scripture too. It's called the Devil's Triangle. Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they have seen the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he spoke and raised up a stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They reeled and staggered like a drunken man, and were at their wits' end. He caused the storm to be still, so that the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad, because they were quiet. So he guided them to their desired haven. This Devil's Triangle in the Bermuda area is a place of great controversy because, as you know, many, many ships, many, many planes, many, many people have just disappeared. The book shows pictures of ships and people who are related to this. And maybe you can remember now some of the more prominent experiences. And it's not just recent, it's gone through time, it's been recorded. Just hundreds and hundreds of years ago, we've got documented evidence where people have just mysteriously disappeared. Ships, ocean liners like, would be talking, having communication with port, and all of a sudden it just breaks off and the ship's never discovered. Airplanes going out and disappear, and then I recall reading that they sent four airplanes out to find the airplane. You going to say
yeah,
that?
Tell us. There was two weather planes out, and they called in and said they were having trouble, their instruments weren't working, and they immediately launched a rescue squadron to go for them, and the planes disappeared, and in the rescue squadron, four airplanes fully manned disappeared. They never heard from any of them again. Found no wreckage, nothing.
Right.
And the ship is amazing that when they go in after them, they find no wreckage, but the people that go in after them, most of the time, come back out. But this was one of the occasions when they didn't.
All four ships disappear, aircrafts. And just, you know, it's good reading, and it tells you what all happened. What has happened to the people that just disappeared. The point is that something is happening there, and if you take a compass, the compass will not go to magnetic north if you're in the triangles. It'll go to true north, and there's just something about it right there. Okay, if it's true that all these things are happening, that people are just disappearing, you know, what is happening to them? Where are they going? Psalm 107, somebody read that if you would. Psalm 107, verse 23.
Those who go down to the sea.
Oh, I'm sorry, that's what I just read. Yeah. That's just what I got through reading. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just got through reading that. Okay. The entrance to this neither world. To the ancient Greeks, bottomless pit meant depths of original time, the primitive ocean and the floods of water. In Luke 8:31, read this, somebody. 8:31.
And they were entreating him not to command them to depart into the abscess.
Now, these are the demons, and Jesus was commanding them to go somewhere. And they said, oh, let me go anywhere but where?
To the abscess.
Don't send me down there. In other words, don't send me down to the depths of the sea. Don't send me there, the demons said. The same pit is used in Revelation as the prison of the underground. We won't turn, but Revelation 20. It's got gates, Matthew 16, 18, and then Isaiah 38, 10. Somebody turn to Isaiah 38, 10. Isaiah 38:10.
And I said, in the middle of my life, I am to enter the gates of Sheol. I am to be deprived of the rest of my years.
Okay. Sheol, the place of the translated hell, it's got gates. And it's got keys, Revelation 1:18 and Revelation 9:1-2. And also Revelation 9:2 says smoke rising out of it. Out of the Bermuda Triangle, for no apparent reason at all, a smoke has been seen. Black smoke's been seen rising just out of the water from time to time. So he says, could the disturbances in the Bermuda Triangle and the Devil's Sea have some connection with the entrances to the biblical Sheol or Hades? Are its gates being bombarded by internal and external spiritual forces, releasing tremendous physical forces in nature? Could there be two gates? One in the triangle, and then all the other one in the Devil's Sea. The Bible never mentions gates in the singular. I mentioned that. So from these scriptures in Revelation, we do see that the pit is used as the prison of the underground with gates and with keys to it. Now the abyss is under the sea. Have we turned to Job 26, if you will. And this was a real good scripture. What does the word abyss mean?
Deep.
Okay. Bottomless pit. Okay. Job 26, verse 5 and 6. Somebody read who hasn't read?
The departed spirits tremble under the waters of their inhabitants. Naked is Sheol before him, and the Abaddon has no cover.
Okay. Now these are new scriptures. They're not new because we've read them. If you read the Bible every year, you've read them once every year, but they're just sort of new to me because it just says here that departed spirits tremble where? Under the water. They tremble under the water and their inhabitants. Naked is Sheol before him, and Abaddon has no covering. So it's sort of a mystery that there could have been a civilization that has been destroyed, and yet it's sort of a mystery that maybe now the Bible for some is bearing this out about the underworld civilization that now is, which is the departed spirits who have been sent to Hades. Now let me just read these scriptures to you. In a book called Theological Dictionary of the New Testament, Sheol and Hades signifies the dark realm of the dead, which according to Job 26:5, is set beneath the ocean floor, and which consigns all men indiscriminately, Psalm 89:48, behind its portals. Now, there are three translations I want to read to you of Job 26:5 and 6. The Septuagint reads, "Are giants going to rise up from beneath the water, and the places near its neighborhood? Moffat, before him the primeval giants writhe under the ocean in their prison." Under the ocean in their prison, these giants. Remember a few weeks ago, the giants that occurred because of the sex relations between the angels and, okay, they produced giants. Giants thrown into hell. Under the ocean in their prison, the underworld lies open to his eyes. And so, Isaiah 28:15, we won't turn to that, but it's a very lengthy scripture that talks about death and Sheol and the depths of where it is. Ezekiel 28:8, let's turn to Ezekiel. We haven't been to him tonight. Ezekiel 28:8. Somebody read.
"They will kill you and send you to a watery grave."
Okay. Another translation says, "They will bring you down to the pit, and you will die the death of those who are slain in the heart of the seas." Malachi 7:19. "He will tread our iniquities underfoot, yea, thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea." Scripture that we're familiar with. Remember in Luke chapter 8, the demons came out of the man and they entered the swine, and where'd they go? Down the steep bank, and they were drowned. We started trying to find that scripture in Revelation. There's this corresponding scripture in Daniel that talks about the abyss and out of the end time tribulation, the beast coming up, comes up out of the sea, and This is the same one mentioned in Daniel chapter 10. In Revelation 11, we notice that the demon prince was coming up out of the abyss. Okay, why under the sea? Why is it that hell would be under the sea? Well, this Arthur states this: Sheol Hades is under the sea because of the two great destructive floods. Water covered the earth in both the Luciferian and the Noahic judgments. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart were only evil, and they were evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth. He was grieved in his heart. And the Lord said, I will blot out man, whom I have created from the face of the land, from man to animals, to creeping things, and to birds of the sky, for I am sorry that I have made them. And behold, even I am bringing the flood of the water upon the earth to destroy all flesh, in which is the breath of life, from under heaven. Everything that is on the earth shall perish. Now, God used the water to destroy mankind because of their sinful condition. We have no evidence that any fallen angels were put into Sheol Hades before the flood of Noah. The angels who fell with Lucifer could have remained loose until Noah flood. This is speculation, he says, but we know that many fallen angels still are not confined. They are free to roam the earth under Satan's control. And a lot of us have come in contact with a lot of those fallen angels. One more thing to wrap this up and then let you ask some questions. Isaiah 27:1. Has to do with a sea beast called Leviathan. And it says, in that day the Lord will punish Leviathan, the fleeing serpent, with his fierce and great and mighty sword, even Leviathan, the twisted serpent, and he will kill the dragon who lives in the sea. And he talks on, are sea monsters real or imaginary? Anybody seen a sea monster around? A lot of people have. And his contention is that UFOs, as well as sea monsters, are the visible manifestations of the departed spirits who are at the base of the sea, and they are coming up in this fashion. Well, what's the bottom line? It's simply this. I am inclined to believe that there is something to the Bermuda Triangle. And what it is negative, it's demonic, and it is satanic. And if you want to step farther into this zone, you may come up with the idea that it could well be the entrance to the Sheol Hades compartment where the dead without Christ have been sent, with those fallen angels as well. So it's food for thought. It's food for thought.